Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be together this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we do adore you. We adore you for how beautiful you are and how much you love us. I pray this morning, God, that as we come to your Bible, that you would speak to us and that you would do your work by the Holy Spirit of shaping us and forming us to be more like Jesus. Help us to see you this morning, God, and to love you and to believe you and for our hearts to pour out praise and worship to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts, chapter 3. Just a little reminder of Acts, chapter 2. There was a miracle. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers, and they went out into the streets and spoke in everyone's different languages. And then Peter gave a sermon to explain what had happened. Well, in chapter 3, we're going to see that there's a miracle that happens. And then, Lord willing, next week, Peter's going to give a sermon to describe about the miracle and what happened. We're entering into a time period of chapters 3, 4, and 5 where there's going to be persecution. So we're going to see in the very beginning, it was hard to be a Christian. I think sometimes we expect that things are just going to go simple and easy for us if we follow Christ. But the scriptures show something different. We don't really get into the persecution until next week. But that's something that we are to expect, that in this life we will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. So would you please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3 and follow along as I read from verses 1 through 10. Acts 3, beginning in verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, that's the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is God's word. Here we see Peter and John giving gifts, giving what they had, but they didn't have any money. And so they gave the gift of Jesus. And through that, this man was healed. Through Jesus, this man was healed. Well, first we have Peter and John come to the temple to pray in verse 1. They went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. It's the ninth hour, and typically in biblical times, they would count the hours starting at 6 o'clock in the morning would be hour zero. So this is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, one of the many times where prayer was called for in the temple. And so they went up there to pray. We see that the early Christians were gathering in the temple, in the Jewish place of worship, because there is one God. And to them, they were worshiping God as he had truly revealed themselves to them. And he is the God of the Old Testament. Jesus is the beginning, and he is the present, and he is the end. He is one God in three persons whom we worship. And so they were worshiping him in the temple with a new understanding of the fulfillment, the totality of God's scriptures and his plan of salvation. With such joy, they went up regularly, as we read last week in the second chapter of Acts, that they were praising God daily together, filled with such joy because Jesus saved them, because Jesus is God Almighty. He is the Savior. And they're going up to pray. But then we see that there's, as they're walking along, as they're walking into the temple, they meet a man who was born lame, meaning he couldn't walk. He's never walked in his life. He's never experienced the ability to get up before. He is always has to have other people carry him about. And we see that he has friends or family who come and they carry him every day to what they call the Gate Beautiful, or the Beautiful Gate. Now this probably, we're not certain, but this probably was a gate that went from the court of the Gentiles, which was sort of the outer part of the temple, and went in to the inner, to the closer sections that would go in. But this would sort of be one of the main outer gates here. Not in the actual wall. There was a wall, and then inside the wall was the gate, was the court of the Gentiles, and then there'd be a gate, and that's probably where the beautiful gate was going in. And I think it's here to show the contrast, right? Sitting here in this place where we worship God with this gate that has the name Beautiful, was sitting someone who couldn't walk, who couldn't take care of themselves, who couldn't even get into worship. This picture of what doesn't belong here. How often do we put on things and make things look nice on the outside, but on the inside, they're rotting away? How often do we spend time trying to make ourselves look good to those around us when inside our hearts are broken? And we're crying out for help, but too scared to actually reveal the pain and the sorrow within us. This man is born lame, and he's there trying to get money. And then he sees Jesus. I'm misreading my page here. Peter and John encounter him. They meet Peter and John, this man born lame. He expects them to give him something. He's hoping that they will. It says in verse 4 that Peter gazes directly at him, and so does John. And so this man's hope is beginning to well up. I understand that. You begin to have some hope that something good is going to come. Here, I'm going to get some money. Maybe I'll be able to eat today. Someone's paying attention to me. Imagine living a life where everyone just tries to turn away from you and not look you in the eye. But here, Peter and John, they look him right in the eye. But then they say something that makes him so sad. In verse 6, they say they don't have any money. They say, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you." I can imagine at that point I would be feeling really crestfallen. I can imagine at that point I'm thinking, well, you don't have any gold or silver. What do you have to give me? I don't need any. You got pocket lint? What? What else can you have? That's all that I need. Isn't it interesting? So many times we think we know what we need. We think we understand the totality of our situation and our circumstances, and we know what we need. And so we ask God for those things. And so often it fills us with frustration because God's not answering the prayers of our hearts. We don't understand why, God. It's such a simple request I'm asking for you to do. You could do it so easily. You're so powerful. We see that with Jesus all the time. People ask him a question and he answers a question and you go, that wasn't the question, Jesus. What are you talking about? I can't help but feel at times that what's going on there is that God knows so much better than I do what it is I really need. I find that really, really difficult. I find that really hard to accept. God, you see the pain. You know the agony. You know the struggle. You know, and you can fix it, God. Why won't you? You have what I need. This man born lame, I can imagine were I in his place, I would feel that way. I'd be so discouraged to hear that you don't have any money right now. You don't have what I need. But he didn't know what he didn't know. He didn't know what he really needed. He had no idea, but God did. And God, in his love, was going to provide for him in a moment something he never even could have imagined having. So often we think we know what we need. And when we don't get it from God, we think God is somehow mad at us, or God is mean, or God is not there, or we've done something wrong, when in fact it's God saying, I love you so much more than to answer this little teeny prayer that you think is what's most important. I'm going to answer you what you truly need. And he says, Peter says to this man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He offered him total healing to walk for the very first time in his entire life. And yet, even that is only a picture of what his heart truly needed, because it's in the name of Jesus Christ that he's healed. It's Jesus that he needs. And we're going to see that as this chapter goes on and into the next chapter too. That in this act here, there is the growing of faith in Jesus. There's a demonstration of who Jesus is. Jesus isn't just a nice teacher. He's not just someone who was leading some kind of political movement. He wasn't just someone who was really smart and really close to God. He is God. He has all the power. He has the power to heal. Now, there's a challenge in that we, like I just mentioned a minute ago, we can pray and ask God to heal, and he has the power to heal. He shows us that. He's going out of his way in the scriptures to tell us and show us that he has the power to heal. Why then does he not always heal us when we ask? I don't know. I have two thoughts. One, what I just said a minute ago too, by faith I must believe that his ways are best, whatever they are. I pour out my heart to him, yes. Cry out to him what is my hope and my desire and my dreams and my wishes, and I pour those out to him, yes. And then I learn, in my case very slowly, to trust in him. That his way is best. Second, I know by faith, by the scriptures, that we will all be healed who trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That in heaven there is no suffering, there is no sorrow, there is no death, there's no depression, there's no cancer, there's no disease, there's no broken relationships, there's no hardship, there's no heartache, there's no pain. In heaven, all is good in Christ, and He will heal every one of us. And therein lies our faith and our hope and our trust. In verse 7 and 8, then, we see that this man is healed by God, and his response is to praise God. I love how emphatic this passage is about this man walking. They don't just say, you know, in Mark, what's it, chapter 4, when they lower the paralyzed man through the roof, and Jesus heals him, and he says, take up your mat, get up, and walk. And it says he took up his mat and he walked. Simple, clean, boom, boom, boom. And there's power in the simplicity of the words of Scripture there. In this situation, they go over the top. The Lord goes over the top in a beautiful way. It says he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. I want you to know that. His feet and ankles were immediately made strong. And then, leaping up, he stood. Okay, get it. And began to walk. All right, well, we can imply that. He entered the temple, meaning he's walking. All right, we get it, yeah. Walking and leaping and praising God. So what? This guy is really, most definitely, absolutely, no questions about it, walking and jumping. He's popping up and down. Every time I read this passage, I think of that wonderful song, jumping up and down, jumping up and down, right? We know that, right? I was thinking that time, every single, Hosanna means God saves. The connecting point between being healed physically and that Jesus is the one who saves. Well, those don't go together. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. This is the Jesus we worship. He is the one who raises people up. He is the one who saves us. This is the Jesus we're talking about. The man is healed and he praises God. And what's wonderful, because this was done in public, the people now see him healed. They know who he is and they start praising God too. And they are filled with wonder. 9 and 10. And all the people saw him. What'd they see him doing? Walking and praising God. This guy's walking, I think. I'm pretty sure. And they recognized him at once, who sat at the beautiful gate. This is the guy who couldn't walk. We've known him all our lives. He's never walked, and now he's jumping. What is going on here? They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Can you imagine experiencing this healing, this saving here, and going, just having your mind blown by what has occurred, which is preparing all their hearts and all their minds, as Peter is going to now explain to them, and we'll look at next week, Lord willing, what is going on here, and that this is all about who Jesus is. It's wonderful that this man is healed. It's wonderful that we see Christians giving the gift they have. And what's the gift? Telling people about Jesus. Right? We talked about that last week, that part of what is the church like? It does so many things. The church shares everything together. The church worships together. The church prays together. The church has meals together. And the church shares the good news of Jesus Christ with other people that they come across. Just a little line in here, a little part of a verse that I just want to look at. And after Peter says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk, in verse 7 it says, he took him by the right hand and raised him up. I don't know why, I love this. There's Peter joining together with the work of God. He didn't just stand back and say, God heal you, though that was how he was healed. But then he got in there too and gave his hand down and he helped him up. There's no lack of faith in that. There's just Peter being involved with loving somebody who appeared to be unlovely to the world. Oh, let us be that way, church. Let us inconvenience ourselves this week. Let us go out of our way when we can't and we don't have the time or the resources to see someone in need, someone who's struggling and suffering, and offer them in the name of Jesus and tell them in the name of Jesus to help them with whatever we have, in whatever way we can. We see in this passage the glory, the beauty, the power of Jesus. And I want that, I for myself and for all of us, I want that to bring us into deeper trust of who Jesus is and what he says. As I said, we can turn this and say, well, why won't he heal me? Why won't he heal my mother, brother, child? He healed this man. What about me? And it's okay to pray. It's okay to pray for healing. Absolutely. We should be praying for healing constantly. And then we should trust. And I don't say that's easy. But passages like this are here to help us to trust him. We are not praying to an idol. We are not praying to a piece of wood, to an impotent, false god. The Lord our God is real. He is true. He is all-powerful. And he loves you. He loves you. We worship this amazing Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that Jesus is our Savior, that you are good, you are so wonderful, you are amazing, Jesus. Would you, by the working of your Holy Spirit, fill us with faith in you, O Lord God, even when we cannot see the way right now. We do pray, O God, for your healing hand to be upon each and every one of us this very day, that you would heal us, O Lord God. And may we trust in you. And we pray, God, come. Maranatha, O Lord Jesus, come. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.